Hello, hello. Welcome to What to Read Wednesdays, your go-to podcast for staff picks from your friends at Delaware County District Library. Here, we'll talk about books, podcasts, and other relevant media. I'm your host, Annie Pasma. Hello, all. Welcome to 2021. I hope it has started out really well for you. We continue to do curbside service, and we can always answer any questions that you may have. Just give us a call during any open hours, which is Monday and Wednesday and Friday, 9 to 5, and then, also Saturday, 9 to 5, and Tuesday and Thursday, 11 to 7. So during any of those times, give us a call. We'd love to answer your questions. We also have, if you go onto our website, we have a little chat box. If you can't figure out something with on the website, you can always ask us a question through that chat box. And of course, you can email us at askus@delawarelibrary.org. You know, we can print stuff off for you as well, and you can pick it up curbside. I mean, we have so much going on. You can utilize us in so many ways. So just let us know how we can help you. So we're going to start out today with a recommendation from Reggie. Did you grow up loving Alvin Schwartz's scary stories to tell in the dark? Or enjoy the chill that ran up your spine when ghost stories were mentioned? Then you will love Don't Turn Out the Lights, a new book by the Horror Writers Association, which pays tribute to Alvin Schwartz's Scary Stories books. Billed as a juvenile fiction, this book will thrill readers young and old alike who worry about things that go bump in the night. It is a collection of 35 of the most talented young adult and adult authors in the horror genre field, edited by Jonathan Mayberry, a horror author in his own right. Iris Compeer created the illustrations, and they are just as horrifying as some of the stories. So grab a blanket to stave off the chills and a candle just in case the lights go out, and enjoy Don't Turn Out the Lights for some tales to keep you awake at night. I was never one for scary stuff when I was a kid, or even now, but there was a story in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark that has stuck with me forever. The Green Ribbon. You know which one I'm talking about. I think everybody I've talked to has read that story. It is chilling and crazy and so good. I read it in the sixth grade, and I remember everything about it. All right, next we're going to hear directly from Hillary.
Hi, everyone. I'm Hillary from the Pal Branch, and I'm here to share some heart with you today. The first book I'm recommending is Well Met by Jen DeLuca, and it is an enemies to lovers romance set in a summer medieval fair. All's fair in love and war for two sworn enemies who indulge in a harmless flirtation in a laugh-out-loud rom-com from debut author Jen DeLuca. Emily knew there would be strings attached when she relocated to the small town of Willow Creek, Maryland for the summer to help her sister recover from an accident. But who could anticipate getting roped into volunteering for the local Renaissance Fair alongside her teenage niece? Or that the irritating and inscrutable school teacher in charge of the volunteers would be so annoying that she finds it impossible to stop thinking about him. The fair is Simon's family legacy, and from the start, he makes it clear that he doesn't have time for Emily's lighthearted approach to life, her oddball Shakespeare conspiracy theories, or her endless suggestions for new acts to shake things up. Yet on the fairgrounds, he becomes a different person, flirting freely with Emily when she's in her revealing wench's costume. But is this attraction real, or is it just part of the characters they're portraying? I love attending Renaissance and medieval fairs, so when I saw that the setting of this book was a medieval fair, I knew that I had to read it. I thought this was a really good introduction to the world of medieval fairs, and it was so much fun to read. Definitely recommended for a contemporary romance in a fun setting. My next recommendation is A Princess in Theory by Alyssa Cole, and it is a contemporary twist on the Cinderella story. You might remember that I recommended a historical romance by Alyssa Cole earlier this year, and her contemporary work is just as enjoyable. An Arranged Marriage, A Mistaken Identity, and A Handsome Prince from an Imaginary Country are just a few common tropes in the first book in Cole's Reluctant Royal series. Nalede, a graduate student in epidemiology, juggles lab work, a waitressing job, and a drunken mess of a best friend. Being raised in foster homes has given her the toughness she needs to succeed as a Black woman in an often hostile world, but it also gives her a lot of insecurities. Nalede hasn't been lucky in love, and she wonders whether she's like a faulty piece of Velcro. People try to stick to her, but there was always something intrinsically wrong in her design. When she gets an email addressing her as the long-lost betrothed of Prince Tabiso from the small, fictional African country of Thessalo, Nalede hits delete. Little does she realize that the incompetent new waiter she's been trying to train is, in fact, the prince come to New York to check out his betrothed. Tabiso insinuates himself into Nalede's life, and they become friends, and pretty quickly thereafter, lovers. Tabiso's big ego and sense of entitlement are tempered by his exposure to working-class realities, while Nalede discovers how wonderful it can be to open up and connect. Of course, catastrophe is just around the corner, and its resolution comes only after they journey to Thessalo, where Nalede can discover her roots while at the same time working to stop an outbreak of a mysterious disease. This was a really enjoyable story of mistaken identity and strong characters that grow during the length of the story. This book was also selected as one of the New York Times 100 Most Notable Books of 2018. Not many romance books end up on this list, so you should definitely give it a read if you're looking for a change in genre or you already enjoy romance books. Thanks for listening and happy reading.
Thank you, Hillary. Hillary is my go-to person when it comes to the romance genre. I rarely read romances, so, you know, it's good to have an expert on stuff. And next, you're going to hear from Mark.
Hello, my name is Mark Stevens, and I work circulation at the Powell Branch. The book I'd like to recommend to you today is entitled The Island of Sea Women, and it's by Lisa C., and I would recommend this book for just adult readers. If you have ever read any of Lisa C.'s books, you know they are fantastic. This is the fourth book of hers I've read. And like all of her books, I found it to be gripping and a doorway to a past time and another world. I must, though, give a strong warning. This book is somewhat different from the other three I've read. This book, set in World War II, when both the Japanese and later Americans invade the Korean island of Jeju, contains scenes of extreme violence, pillage, rape, and murder. If you can get past those issues, I think you will find this book to be a very rewarding and educational one. I did want to warn you, though, this book may be too intense for some. As I mentioned before, I love reading historical fiction that introduces me to situations I know nothing about. This page-turner taught me about the sea-diving women of Jeju. These women became important and common around the 17th century, and their economic power essentially slowly changed the island's culture to become matriarchal. The women had the power, because they were the main breadwinners while their husbands maintained the home and the children. These women were amazing divers and harvested abalone, octopus, and seaweed. Starting as young girls, they conditioned their lungs so that they could remain for 3 minutes or so in deep waters that would be frigid in the winter. They wore no diving mask back then and often no diving suits as they dived down at least 30 meters. Eventually, they started wearing cotton suits so they could stay in the water for up to an hour. Only after the war did they start wearing rubber suits. This book is a multi-generational family saga set between 1938 and 2008 and revolves around several strong female characters. The two major characters are Mi-Ja and Young-Sook, who become best friends as little girls and who both follow their mothers into working as divers. Young-Sook's mother is the leader of the group of 20 or so divers and is a very strong influence on the group and the two girls as she leads the group and trains the girls in this all-consuming craft. Truly, these women spend so much time together that it seems like they are an actual family. Often their days of challenge and hard work are so long that they are at their homes only to eat and sleep. These girls take us readers through some exciting periods. Their friendship starts as the Japanese colonize Korea and continues through the Japanese war oppression and the World War conflict between Japan and the United States. It seems these inseparable girls will be best friends forever. Yet, once they each marry, their lives begin to diverge and they become enemies. Young-Sook marries the love of her life, and she and her family continue into the simple lifestyle of the island. Mi-Ja, on the other hand, is led down a different path as her father becomes a Japanese collaborator, and she marries a powerful evil man. While I felt a deep connection with both of these two women, I predict you will find Mi-Ja's story to be more heartbreaking. Both stories are intense, poignant, and complex. There is a strong theme of forgiveness in the midst of a struggle and terrible betrayal. In my mind, I felt this Lisa C. book was another winner and well worth reading. If you find you like this book, in which history and friendship are so deeply connected, let me highly recommend my favorite book of this author, and it's entitled Snow, Flower, and the Secret Fan. Another award-winning author who sets her books in Chinese and Southeast Asian culture is Amy Tan, and I highly recommend her books too. Both these authors seem similar. This book is 385 pages and is available on Libby.
Wow, that sounds heavy, but really like a really incredible story. I think I've mentioned before, I'm pretty sure I've mentioned before that on this podcast that I love K-dramas. Don't judge. And some take place on Jeju Island, so I think I would really like this book on Korean history. Okay, so we're going to talk about what I'm reading. I debated about reviewing this book, but I really want to. But before I reviewed this very controversial new book, I'd like to tell my listeners a not-so-secret thing about the library. We have something to offend everyone. That's the nature of the library. I'm sometimes offended by what I see on the shelves, but that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be there. The library is the place for ideas and accessibility to those ideas. So the book I just finished reading is called Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters by Abigail Shearer. I'll tell you first what this book is not. It is not a book against gender dysphoria, nor is it saying transgenderism isn't real. What the journalist-turned-author is asking is why is this suddenly affecting preteen and teen girls who do not have a history of gender dysphoria? Of course, the answer is very complicated and involves lots of factors, including eating disorders, body shaming, bullying, anxiety, and depression. I didn't agree with everything that the author was saying, but I do think she did a really good job investigating and interviewing transgender teens, those identifying as trans and ones who no longer identify as such. She interviewed transgender influencers, parents, therapists, and people like older people who did struggle with childhood dysphoria and made that transition. Like a couple of them, they made the transition like in the 90s. So she wanted to know how they felt about all of this. So it's a book that I would I would recommend it. I would recommend it with caution because it does have triggers, I guess you would say. But it was really interesting and very informative. All right. So I have some disappointing news, you guys. After going on and on about Sky Beyond the Storm and my favorite YA fantasy series, I was seriously disappointed with the conclusion of the Ember in the Ashes series. I was so bummed. It was long. I'm not opposed to long, but it just kept rehashing the same things over and over again, all the while completely ignoring main characters from the first three books. Like, just did not mention them hardly at all or develop the story even more. There were so many things to be said about those characters. Ugh, I was so bummed. I was so bummed. But, I mean, it was a really good audiobook. But, and the writing really isn't that bad. I just was disappointed with how she wrapped up some of the characters. So anyway, I would still recommend this series for sure. Just a little bit disappointed with the conclusion. So what I'm looking forward to, as I've mentioned before, I think, A Deadly Education by Naomi Novik. I've heard such good, like the early reviews, I've heard really good things about it. So hopefully it doesn't disappoint me like the one I just listened to. All right, folks, that's it for today. I have some new ideas in the works, so it's going to be fun. So stay tuned. Thank you for listening, everyone. I'm your host, Annie Pasma. I'll see you next time.